Good morning, and welcome to First Baptist Church of Savannah, Georgia, on this All Saints Sunday. I expect that all of you are well-rested, since you all got an extra hour of sleep last night, and are here and ready to worship this morning. If you are a guest with us, it is especially great to have you here. If you are from out of town, please give folks a chance to say hello, and if you are from in town as well, give folks a chance to say hello to you as well and to welcome you at the end of service. And for those of you who are here every week, who we call family, who we call community, and who we walk through life together with, welcome back to this place. And may we worship God together. And will you join me in this litany for All Saints Sunday? God loves us enough to swallow up death forever. God loves us enough to share our loss and grief.
Let us share the loss and grief of everyone else.
The Holy Spirit loves us enough to offer us words of hope we can trust.
Let us offer words of hope to all the
O God, help us to be the hands and feet of Christ in our world.
Let us pray. God of all the saints, we come before you today remembering that we do not journey alone. We have gathered together in this place and proclaimed to the world that you have called us to be a particular family of faith, committed to each other and committed to loving you with all our hearts, souls, and might. On this All Saints Sunday, we thank you for the lives and witness of the saints who have gone before us, for those who faithfully supported this community, who have shown us how to live faithful lives in your service, who have handed down stories of grace and faith. Remind us that we too have stories of grace and faith, and that our individual stories connect with those of others. Together we tell the larger story of how you have loved your creation and how your purposes continue to unfold in the world. Unite us in our worship. Speak to our hearts and minds, even as we give them to you. In the name of the Christ, amen.
Thank you.
together we affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Often talk about the church as a community, and in our culture, which puts emphasis on the individual, it is sometimes hard to realize just how interrelated we are with other people. And yet our lives are intertwined with the lives of others in ways that we are sometimes completely unaware. Whether we like to admit it or not, we are social creatures. We also sometimes like to think that we are who we are because we have worked hard to make ourselves this way. Yet if we are honest, much of what we are as humans, we owe to other people, especially in the church. Most of us have fathers and mothers in the faith, and sometimes those are our own parents. Sometimes maybe they have been teachers, pastors, youth ministers, Sunday school teachers, who in small or large ways helped us grow and nurtured us in life and in faith. We always stand in a larger community than just those who are around us daily. And so each year on All Saints Sunday, our church pauses to remember those members who have passed from this life to the church triumphant in the last year. Though they are lost to us in death, we know they are not lost to God. And we believe by faith that they were never more alive than they are today. It is with love and much gratitude that the First Baptist Church remembers this day. Theodore Wayne Beach. Nancy Burnett Beard. Bettina Boney Beecher, Dolores Barry Boss, Jennifer Jill Chesick, Ella Ruth Dunn, Wida Hudson Harrison, Adrienne Fowler Keith, Ann Fitzhugh Stubbs, Rebecca Harrison Turner. Many of these persons leave behind family members and dear friends who continue to grieve and to mourn their passing. Knowing that, as we do, would you offer them encouragement today by joining now in the unison statement of support printed in your order of worship? We thank God for the gift of life, for all of its wonder and mystery,
its friendships and fellowships, and for the ties that bind us so close to one another. We remember your loved one with kindness and affection, and we thank God for the investment of life in this fellowship of faith. Our prayers attend you and yours in these days of acceptance and adjustment, and we pledge our help during this and all time.
First reading is from the book of Ruth. 1 through 18. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraimites and from Bethlehem in Judea, in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was bereft of her two sons and her husband. Then she started with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find a home, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. For your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if even death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Here ends the reading of the verse.
The second lesson comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. "Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the ordinances which the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your children and your children's children, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Here ends the reading of the second lesson.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. In the 12th chapter, starting with verse 28 and ending in verse 34, one of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked them, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' And the second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one. Besides him, there is no other. And to love him with all your heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to them, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any questions. This is the written word of the Lord. So a number of years ago, when I was in seminary and I was doing a mentorship or an internship in the city of San Francisco, it was around this time of year, and I remember walking through our neighborhood, which was the Mission District. And if you've ever been to the Mission District in San Francisco, you know that it is a heavily Hispanic neighborhood. And I was walking through the streets one day, and I walked across this group of flowers that was sitting next to a tree on the sidewalk. And with the flowers was this really kind of large, what I thought as a gingerbread man. And it had white powdered sugar on it. Now, I didn't know what this was. My assumption was that someone had left their gingerbread man here by the tree. And so I walked on a little bit further, and against one of the walls on the street, there was another one. There was a group of flowers, and there was this big, what I thought was a gingerbread man, with white sugar on it. And I thought, what is going on with all of these gingerbread men around the neighborhood? I do not understand this. So I walked a little further, and I saw another one. And it just kind of was like, what's going on? So the next day I woke up, and there were some more around the neighborhood. Until finally one day, I asked the folks that I was mentoring with, I said, "What's up with all the gingerbread men around the neighborhood?" And they kind of chuckled, and they said, "Josh, those aren't really gingerbread men." I said, "Oh, well, what are they?" And they said, "They're actually part of the tradition of the Day of the Dead." He said, "If you walk by any of the bakeries in the neighborhood, which there are many, there'll be lots of these in the window." And they said, "What they're doing is that probably at that space and that place that you walked past, probably one of their loved ones died there. And so they're leaving that as a memorial. And the person, the cookie that you thought was a gingerbread man, is actually supposed to represent that person who had died. It's part of that Day of the Dead tradition." And I was like, "Oh, okay, well, this makes much more sense." But I didn't know what that was at the time. I was completely ignorant to what Day of the Dead was. And I found out very quickly, living in that neighborhood, what it was. This celebration in mostly Mexican culture, of celebrating the people in your family who have passed on. And it is a huge celebration. If you were with us this summer when we had our family movie night and we watched the movie Coco, or you've ever seen that movie, you see this celebration
acted out. And it is used as a central metaphor for the movie, where the family takes pictures of their loved ones and they put them on an altar with some food, and they're there to remember who grandmother was, or great grandmother was, or great great grandmother was. And they would tell stories of these people. Well, in our movie that we watched this summer, Coco, we find a little boy named Miguel. And the family has set up their pictures for the Day of the Dead. And as a family, they are going to celebrate. But through a piece of magic that happens to Miguel, he is taken to the realm of the dead. And he gets to meet his extended family. He meets those who he did not know, who have passed on. And he is on a journey to find his great, great grandfather. Well, along the way, he meets a man named Hector, who wants Miguel to go back to the land of the living and place his picture on some family altar. But early on, we do not know why he wants this done. He just asks him, "Will you go back and put my picture on the altar?" But there is a pivotal scene in the middle of the movie where Hector and Miguel are visiting a friend. And this friend is lying in bed, and Hector sings him a song, and in the scene, this friend disappears. And in little glittering light, his spirit floats away. And Miguel says, "What happened?" And Hector explains, "Listen, no one in the land of the living remembers him anymore, and so he disappears." And we find out that the reason Hector wants that picture to go on the altar is because if it doesn't, he too will be not remembered and he will disappear. It is contingent that there is someone alive who remembers their story for them to stay alive in the realm of the dead in the movie. And so our movie finds Miguel learning a valuable story. He learns that to keep a story alive, we must continually tell that story over and over and over. We know this tradition well, don't we? I mean, every year on All Saints Sunday, we remember those in our community who have passed on in the previous year. But we actually have a long story of remembering. We see it this morning in the reading of Deuteronomy. I know, I'm preaching on Deuteronomy. Who knew? I mean, this is a book that some people get bogged down in, but there's good stuff here. And we see this story being told and told to keep telling. Let's hear it again real quick. "Now, this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord your God charged me," Moses in this case, "to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding to you, so that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may multiply greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you." And what is this thing that Moses is going to command them, that God has told them to do? "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. And keep these words that I am commanding you today in your hearts. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away and when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as signs on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. There is a national teaching going on from Moses, and he says, listen, all of you Israelites. And for what reason he is wanting to tell these people how to live as God's people and how to keep the story alive. Do you see, or do you notice, how many times continuing the story is in this passage? That the Lord, your God, charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you're about to cross into and occupy? For what reason? So that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life. That's in the first part. In the second part, he says, listen, keep these words as I am commanding you today in your hearts. Recite them to your children. And talk about them when you are at home, and when you're away, and when you're lying down, and when you're rising, and when you're running, and when you're sleeping, and when you're going to work, and when you're driving to the grocery store. That's not really in the Bible, but I thought I'd just add that in, because that's basically the spirit of what he's getting at. The story for Moses and the Israelites is continued by the continual retelling of one generation to the other generation. That is how the story is kept alive. And what is the command that they are told to keep alive? You shall love your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all of your might. And that's a teaching that gets passed down, doesn't it? It gets passed down so well that one day Jesus is doing his Jesus thing, and there's some people who ask him, hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And guess what Jesus says? Oh, you want to know the greatest commandment? I can tell you what the greatest commandment is. You know why I can tell it to you? Because a long time ago, someone told it to my ancestors, and then they told it to their ancestors, and they told it to their children, and to their children, and to their children. So let me tell you the answer. Hear, O Israel, maybe you've heard this before, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. When Moses started back here, boy, we see it working with Jesus. And if we shoot forward, do we see it working with us? You know what I like to think about sometimes? I wonder who Jesus' teachers were. I mean, sure, we could say, oh, okay, it's Jesus. He knows everything. But in Jesus' humanity, who were the people who were around him teaching him? I almost picture 4-year-old Jesus playing on the floor while Mary stops what she's doing. She goes down and she helps Jesus with whatever he's playing with. And she might say, remember, you need to love God and you need to love people. These are the greatest commandments, Jesus. The story is kept alive in her telling. I almost like to picture that maybe Joseph, while building something in the shop one day, Jesus walks in and they're having a conversation, and at some point, Joseph maybe says, you remember, you need to love God and you need to love people, Jesus. And in Joseph's telling, the story stays alive in its retelling, so that when Jesus is asked, hey, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus says, let me tell you, I remember what my mama said. I remember what my earthly father says. I remember what my heavenly God says. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. And the story goes on. And we are commanded to do the same. Tell it to their children so that they can tell it to theirs. Sometimes when I'm at people's houses, I will find myself walking down the hall. And sometimes I will be in the hall and I will notice that there is a great wall of pictures. A wall of pictures that tell a story. And maybe there's pictures of those people's children when they were 4 or 3 or 10. Maybe if I'm lucky, there's some really old pictures of when the people whose house I'm in were young. And maybe there's even some older pictures, some of those black and white pictures, you know, with the white edges around it. And there's a scene of a world that used to be. And I get to sit there and imagine what these lives were. And if I'm lucky, I get to ask the person, hey, tell me who this is. And they might say, you know, that's my grandmother. And in that picture, they're standing in her kitchen. And this is my mother's sister. And I get to hear the story of what's going on in that room. And maybe they even tell me what it smelled like or what it felt like or the things that happened in that room. Or maybe I get to stand at their refrigerator and see all the pictures of their life that tell a story. And they're there because they want to pass that story on. The story is being told right there on the wall for all of us to be able to see. Sometimes those old pictures we get to laugh at. We get to laugh at the old things in the picture. We get to laugh at the technology that was back then and isn't anymore. The hairdos, the clothes, the people. Sometimes we even see this telling of the story passed on through recipes. When someone's like, that's my grandmother's cake. And you taste it and you're like, I remember when I was a kid and I had it. The story is going on. So, all of us have had people in our lives, people whose lives have spoken to our life. And within our spiritual life, there are those who have remembered or reminded us, you need to love God and you need to love people. They've been wonderful examples who have retold the story to us, and they have kept the story of God alive. Maybe they were a preacher, maybe they were a Sunday school teacher, or even just a friend. Maybe they were people who you watched their example at things like family promise as they served families, or in congregations and service as they served the community, or on different mission trips. Maybe it's just the music in church that continues to tell you the story. But who are the people who told and retold the story of God to you and made it sink deep in your soul? If you were to decorate your hall with pictures of people who shaped your spiritual life, who would be there? And what events would be on that wall for you? What things and people kept the story alive for you? And would you be on the walls of other people? To reference another movie that came out this year, there's a documentary, a great documentary, about Fred Rogers. It's called Won't You Be My Neighbor? And at the very end, they talk about something that Rogers would do most every time that he spoke. He would say, I'm quoting him, when I was a boy, I would hear about something scary, and my mother would tell us, you need to always look for the people who are helping. You will always find somebody who is trying to help. And from that time, Roger's still speaking, and from the time that you were very little, you have had people who have smiled you into smiling, people who have talked you into talking, sung you into singing, and loved you into loving. And then he would say, let's just take some time to think of those extra special people. Some of them may be here right now. Some may be far away. Some may even be in heaven. But no matter where they are, deep down you know they have always wanted what was best for you. They always cared about you beyond measure and have encouraged you to be true to the best within you. And then Rogers would say, I want you to think about that person, and I'm going to give you a minute. And he would say, I'm going to time you. And so for 1 minute, I want you to think about that special person. Go. If we had time, it would be great to go around the room and hear who you thought of. Who gets put into a frame and hung on the wall of the people who have told you the story of God and have shaped your life? Because today we remember those who helped keep that story alive. And now we are challenged to say thank you to them, but also we are challenged now to be the people who pass the story on, to tell others to love God and to love neighbor. Amen.
Thank you.
time to pray. And may we do so first with a minute of silence to pray, and then hear the prayers of God's people. Let us pray. O God, thank you for calling us your saints. In spite of our lives that are far less than saintly, you look at us and see Jesus' perfect life and death covering ours, and we thank you for this grace. Today, we thank you for those people who have helped us on our journey and encouraged us to keep believing when we have felt like giving up. Thank you for all those who taught us how to follow you. Lord of all, we pray for your church on earth, that it may remain faithful to the teachings of Jesus and that it will strive for unity. God, bring peace to those nations in conflict and where there is political instability. Protect those who are poor and hungry and give them hope. Move those with pity to share with those who have little, and help all people to love their neighbors as themselves. God of life, we give thanks for your love that you have shown to the world through all your saints, and we celebrate our continuing communion with them whenever we worship. As we live our days, keep us looking to Christ as our example, and help us to live the holy lives you have called us to live by the power of your Spirit, something you taught your disciples when you taught them to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen."
A scribe asked Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus responded, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." We are invited as we give today and every day to consider this. How does our giving fulfill these two great commandments?
Thank you.
Pray. We long to love you, God, with all our hearts, souls, mind, and strength, with our entire beings. Thank you for the saints, living and dead, who continue to teach us what that looks like. Thank you for the neighbors, both known and unknown, whom you give us to love. Remind us that loving you and loving neighbor go hand in hand. Bless the gifts we give today. They are a reflection of the love we aspire to. Give us wisdom and grace as a congregation to use this money for the good of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
This morning we get to participate in a symbol of remembering, a way to tell the story that we believe in. At this table, this big table that is the Lord's, we are welcome. There is room for us all. So all who belong to Christ are invited to participate in this symbol of who Christ was and who Christ is. We're told that on the night Jesus was betrayed, Jesus was having a meal with his disciples. But at this particular meal, he took bread and he broke it. When he gave thanks, he turned to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
the body of our Lord, broken for us all.
In the same way, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as you drink this, do it in remembrance of Jesus.
Scripture reminds us that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The invitation to Christian discipleship is open now for any who wishes to follow Jesus or who would wish to join this worshiping community. You can do that as we sing this great hymn together.
Thank you.
be seated. Just real quick for a couple of announcements. I have some guests today from in town, so say hello to them on your way out. Want to thank Gay Roundtree for stepping in this morning and helping be our liturgist. There was some miscommunication on who was our liturgist this week, so Gay stepped in at the last minute and did a fantastic job. Remember, next Sunday there will be a fellowship hour after worship sponsored by the Music and Arts Committee. This Wednesday night, we will continue on our Animate series. We took last Wednesday off, and so this week we're picking back up again. So dinner is at 5 and program is at 6. Also, remember that today is Congregations in Service, so if you are helping with that, then there will be lunch at 12:30 at the Baha'i Center, and then we are going to go serve in our community. And as always, since this is a first Sunday, we will take up a benevolence offering in the narthex. There will be someone there with a plate for you to put some money in to help people in our community, and those funds are used every month to help folks who are in need. So if you will, hear this benediction as we leave today and the choral response. The pathway is open before you this day. It is the path of peace and hope, brought to others by God's mighty love and wondrous blessings. So go in peace. Bring hope to all that you meet. Go, bless ones, to serve God all your days. Amen.